some of you might have to say, I have never been here before, and that's okay. But we want to understand what it means to be filled and refilled and walking and controlled and soaked and saturated with the Spirit of God, where there's no more room in our vessel.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day, everyone. We're so glad you've joined us for the broadcast as we're continuing Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament Epistle of Ephesians. Today's message is titled, Walk in Wisdom, Part 2. So now, let's join Pastor.
Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We're going to be beginning verse 15, right in that area. You know, this morning as we do part two of our walk in wisdom, remember that we started out all the way back in chapter 4, verse 1, where we talked about to walk worthy, where Paul, we were commanded to walk worthy of our calling. Remember the word worthy. It's a picture of a set of scales, equal in doctrine, equal in application. We hear God's word, we do God's word, which gives us a balanced walk and also pleases the Lord. Now, with all that being said, we learn in chapter 5, verse 1, that it says that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. In other words, we're partakers of now the divine nature of God, and we're to imitate our Lord. And then it tells us we've learned about the walk of love. We've learned about the walk of light. We've learned about the walk of wisdom. We've learned that we must walk circumspectly, if you will, in this world because the days are evil. We must understand what the will of the Lord is. We must have a full grasp upon that. Now, we do live in days of evil. Amen? Not months of evil, not years of evil. Every day in this world is an evil, evil day. You know, on the way here this morning, when I was crossing the Lake Worth Bridge, and I was praying, and all of a sudden I started thinking, I guess the Lord brought it up, I'm not for sure, I'm sure He did, about how evil last night was in our city. Do you understand? Do you think there was anything evil last night going on in our city? Yes. And I started praying for those children that are trafficked in our cities and the hurt they must feel, just their pain and their suffering. The days are evil, loved one. Boy, we need to be a people and of prayer. Amen? You know, praying over the things. But as we look now to walk carefully, walk accurately, that's what the word circumspectly means. We now come in part two of our message on the walk of wisdom, we come to an area of Scripture that is the most difficult for me in all of Ephesians. You know, this is the third time I've taught through the book of Ephesus at this church. And every time I get to this section, my prayer time increases, my questioning to God increases, because we move into an area now that it is vital. If you don't get verse 18, where it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. That is a verse that is so pregnant with meaning. Every word in verse 18 is absolutely important. And if you don't get this, the right interpretation of this Scripture, you're not going to understand 19, 20, and 21 and so forth. It's not going to work. So verse 18 is so, so important. And there is only one way that a believer can walk in love, imitate Christ, walk in light, walk in wisdom, all that, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's absolutely no other way. So let's look at this difficult verse. Bear with me, because I'm going to teach in depth, if you don't mind, for a few minutes here, because I really want us to get a good grasp on this word. Now let's look at it together. Paul writes in verse 18, he says, and do not be drunk with what? Okay, that could be Coors Light, all of it. Does that make sense? Do not be drunk with wine. And it tells us why, which is dissipation. In other words, or which that which leads to dissipation, or we could say leads to wild living. So dissipation, that word means a life that'll just be a wasteful life. It's living without any control. If when a person is intoxicated, they're not in control, are they? No, not at all. The same word is used in Luke 15 when Luke describes the prodigal son. So this dissipation, if you will. And then he says, and be filled with the Spirit. Now, be, it's the verb. In the Greek, and I'm a big Greek scholar, but in the Greek, though, it's important to always understand your tenses because it doesn't come across in English, okay? So literally, when it says be filled with the Spirit, in the Greek language, it would be their tense would be present continuous tense. In other words, be ongoing every moment of your life. Let you be completely consumed, controlled by the Spirit of God. In other words, keep on being filled. Now, listen carefully. Verse 18, be ye filled, is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It is a command from God to be filled ongoing with the Spirit of God. It also is plural in the Greek, okay? If it's plural, that means this. He's not speaking to just a few people. He's speaking to every believer in Ephesus and every believer at Calvary Chapel. Does that make sense? So very, very important. The word filled, literally, we could just use the word, it means to be controlled by. So to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, whatever you do, do not confuse be filled with the Spirit as the upper room in Acts chapter 2. That's not what it means. You know, it's, of course, similar to that, but it's not the initial filling that happened there, the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, the endowment of power. And whatever you do, don't confuse being filled with the Spirit as the new birth. Because the moment that you believed in Christ, you confessed Him with your mouth, you believed in your heart, that very moment, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, that you were placed or baptized or immersed into the body of Christ. You became a believer. Amen? It also says in Ephesians 1:13-14, it says the moment that you believed in Christ, it says having been, that's past tense, having been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee until the day of redemption. Amen? So you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, which denotes security, ownership, and so forth, until the very day of Christ. But here, this meaning is different. It says, and don't be drunk, a command. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Here it comes. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, question. Why did the Apostle Paul, I mean, when you think about this incredible, I love Ephesians. I mean, you know, now that we know who we are in Christ Jesus, that we're accepted, we are chosen in Him before the foundation of the earth, we're seated with Christ in the heavens, we're blessed with all the blessings, amen? And then it's almost strange that Paul would do what he's doing here. He says, again, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, question, why did Paul mention drunkenness in this verse? If you don't get this, you're not going to understand it. In other words, let's do it this way. Was Paul now opening up a whole brand new sermon on drunkenness? No. And that's what I mean. So many people take it that way. But listen, we don't want to get drunk. Amen? No, but that's not what Paul is doing here. See, if that's all you see in this verse, you'll miss the meaning of the verse. Have you noticed that Paul, in his teaching, has been doing something? In other words, there in verses 8 through 14, he says, you once were, past tense, you once were darkness, but now light, sons of light. Do you see the contrast? Darkness and light. Whenever we get into in verse 15 about our walk, it says the wise person and the foolish person. Do you see the contrast? Okay, that's all that Paul is doing now. He's giving us a contrast in the continued teaching, and he uses the word drunk and he uses the word filled. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there any similarity with what Paul is saying about being drunk and being filled with the Spirit? Is there anything similar to that? Yes, there is. Remember on the day of Pentecost, they were all assembled, or 120 were there in the upper room, remember, and they were waiting on the endowment of power, the promise of the Holy Spirit being poured about, the birth of the church, if you will. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they all started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were in there in Jerusalem, remember, the Cretes and Arabians, all kinds of people from all around the world, there for Pentecost. And they heard them speaking in tongues, but they heard them speaking in their own languages, remember? And so what did they say? They said, what is this? What's the meaning of this? And some mockingly said, well, they're filled with new wine. In other words, they're drunk. And then Peter, what did he do? He stood up and he says, oh no, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that which Joel the prophet prophesied, okay? Now listen, there is a similarity. Can you tell when a person is wasted? Okay, and you can tell when a person is full, overflowing with the Spirit of God. Did you know that? Absolutely. And that's why Paul uses the contrast. Darkness, light, wise, foolish, drunk, filled. Now let's focus in. Let's teach now. Let me teach on this. Let's look at those two words and the meaning of those two words to understand our text. The word drunk there is an unusual word in the Greek language. It was used by Homer in his writings and so forth. And one of the Greek scholars, Vincent, for example, here's what he says about that word drunk. He said, this is a curious use of words where he's describing the stretching of a bull's hide, which in order to make it more elastic, here you have the bull's hide, he's trying to stretch it out. Here's what they did. They soaked it, say that word with me, soak, soaked with fat. In other words, to make it more elastic, okay? So they soaked it with fat. It says the word, therefore, refers to the condition of a person in when he is soaked with wine. Now, or in other words, we say drunk. So there's that meaning of that word. The other word, filled, in the Greek language is a beautiful word, pleroo. And that word means to be filled. Completely full. It means overflowing. Of course, in this instance, it's overflowing with a person. It's a picture, if you will, of a glass of water. And there's a glass, and there's no water in the glass, and you fill that glass completely full of water to the rim. What does that mean? There is no room for anything else in there. That's what it means to be filled, overflowing, or we could even put it this way. That's what it means to be soaked with the Holy Spirit. That word soaked there, being filled. Did you know, and I think it's in Matthew 27, remember when they took the sponge and they soaked it in the vinegar and reached it up and gave it to the Lord? Okay, that's the same word. It means that sponge could not hold any more of the vinegar. It was soaked. Well, that's what it means when we are filled with the Spirit of God. We're soaked. We're overflowing. We're filled to the rim. Matter of fact, in John's gospel, when John was writing about there, Mary, when she took the, remember the costly oil, the spikenard, you know, when she was going to anoint the feet of Jesus and she was wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair in John's gospel, John 12:3, and it says this, and the house was filled, or pleroo, with the fragrance of the oil. In other words, it permeated every inch of her home. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2:9, talking about that word pleroo, it tells us that for in him, meaning Jesus, dwells all the fullness completely to the rim, to the top, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then it says this, and you are the believer, present tense, right this moment, you are complete in him. Now that word complete is pleroo. You are overflowing. You are filled to the very brim with the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? The Spirit of Christ has come into our heart. We're overflowing with a person. So that word is so vital that we understand. So to be pleroo, if you will, means to be dominated, full. There's no room for anything else in our being, if you will. That's what that word means. So to be filled with the Spirit means to be full of the Spirit. And it means that you have given the Holy Spirit the proper place in your life. Now, the Holy Spirit, loved one, is a person. When people call the Holy Spirit an it, I know they mean well, or maybe they just don't know, but the Holy Spirit is not an it. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not a force or an essence or a language. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a person, not a doctrine. Boy, we need to understand that. We need to know Him intimately. So Paul the Apostle talking about the life of the believer. Listen, the Christian life can only happen one way, and that is life in the Spirit. We have to live in the Spirit. Jesus said in John 16:33, He says, "For the Spirit gives life." The Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us life. The Zoe of God, God's kind of life. The Holy Spirit gives us life, but the flesh profits nothing. Listen, the flesh can't help us. It's matter of fact, it is helpless and powerless, isn't it? Absolutely. So with all that in mind, we know that without the Holy Spirit, who takes us from glory to glory to glory, putting us into the same image of our Lord, into Christ's likeness, without the Holy Spirit, loved one, we will not have an ounce of Christ's likeness in our life, or an ounce of love, or an ounce of goodness. Jesus said in John 15:5, He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Boy, we need the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen carefully. Verse 18 is a command. It's not a suggestion. It is not an option. Do not steal. Is that a command? Okay. Do not commit adultery. Is that a command? Okay. Now you would never say to yourself, "That's just a suggestion." No, you don't want to steal, do you? No, you don't want to commit adultery. You don't want to fornicate. You don't do any of those things. You want to do everything that pleases the Lord. Well, see, verse 18 is a command too. And so we're to say, okay, Lord, I want to be controlled by you. I want to be full of the Spirit of God and so forth. That's why it says, do not be soaked with wine, which is unrestrained living or dissipation, prodigal living, but be soaked in the Spirit. You know, you can ponder that verse all that you would like, and I do at times. And the reason I say that is because, okay, Lord, you are commanding me to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, what do I do? Because I already have been filled. Does that make sense? I know that I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, but He's talking about a refill. Does that make sense? Be ye, in the Greek, be ye being filled constantly with the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, so when we look at that, we have to say, okay, Bill, how in the world is that done? I mean, then there's only one way. The believer has to do something every day. Every day, in my prayer time, every morning. Matter of fact, when I leave that my little cubby hole back there where I hide during the service, you know, I say, Lord, as I'm walking down here, fill me with your Spirit. Guide me. I'm yours. Do whatever you want to do. So to obey this command, the believer has to do something, and here it is. You must make it every day. You must make a daily conscious desire on your part to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's a desire. Is that a desire of your life? See what I mean? You have to ask yourself that. Remember Jesus in John 7:37 on that great day of the feast. Jesus said this, if anyone, no matter who you are, if anyone thirst, then you come to me. Let that person, you come to me and you drink. Now, he's not talking about drinking water, is he? He's talking about drinking of the Holy Spirit of God. So here's the deal. Jesus said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. That refers to a desire. Do you desire to come to Jesus and drink? That's what he's saying. Now listen, no believer will drink if he is not thirsty. The Holy Spirit desires you to drink. But we have to ask ourselves a question. Do we really desire? Do we desire to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God? It's our part, see. Do you think the Holy Spirit wants to control you? Of course He does. But do you desire, I'm challenging you here as we're teaching, do you desire to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? Jesus in Luke 9:23, he used the same word. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, if you really want to be with me, if you desire me, he says, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There are things that we need to do. That's a command, by the way. You know, do we desire the Lord? Do we desire the Holy Spirit to control us, to overflow us whenever we're faced with sin coming into our life or a temptation? You follow me? We see something, do we desire the Holy Spirit to say, don't look at that, to control us? Or we may hear his voice and we don't obey him. You know, we can quench the Holy Spirit, can't we? Vex, make him sad. That's why we know he's a person. And we can also make sad the Holy Spirit. So we can grieve, we can quench. So we don't want to do those things. How about the Holy Spirit? Do we want the Holy Spirit to control us when we have been horribly wronged by other people? And we know the commandment to forgive as Christ has forgiven. Amen? But we can resist the Holy Spirit, can't we? See, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit in word, in deed, in thought, in action. That's why whenever we celebrate communion, you hear me pray that prayer. Father, if we have grieved, vexed, made sad in the Holy Spirit in any way by word, deed, thought, or action, we run to the throne of grace. You've heard that for 28 years, okay? Listen, I believe that with all my heart. I want the Holy Spirit to control me. I don't want to be stiff-necked. I want to say, Lord, just here I am. So we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. That tells us something. That means that being filled with the Spirit for the life of the believer is a repeatable experience. It doesn't just happen. It's not just an upper room experience, just one time. It's repeatable. And if you study out the book of Acts, you'll find out that the apostles and the believers there, they experienced repeated fillings of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me give you an example. Whenever Peter was addressing the Sanhedrin, he said in Acts chapter 4, verse 7, they were asking him a question. And Peter, in other words, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now that was, remember that Peter and John, they went up to the temple at the time of prayer, and there was the lame man out there, remember? And he was begging for money, and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he was instantly healed. That's what they're talking about. What name, what power did you do this in, Peter? Now listen to what happened. Then Peter, he's getting ready to answer them. It says, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. He was overflowing with the Holy Spirit. In other words, his entire vessel was consumed by the Holy Spirit of God and said to them, rulers and elders of Israel, and he starts talking about the resurrection and the death and so forth of Jesus Christ. And he ends in verse 12 and he looks at them and he says, I want you to know there is no other name given unto man under heaven by which man could be saved. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit when that occurred. Remember when all of the disciples, Peter, John, and the disciples, they were all forbidden by the rulership to not speak, don't even speak the name of Jesus in your teaching or any of the things that you're doing. It says in Acts 4:31, and when they, all of the disciples and all of the apostles, and when they had prayed, in the place where they were assembled together, it was shaken. And listen to what happened. And they were all filled. They were all completely filled with a person, all filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to what happened. They spake the word of God with boldness. And the boldness that they were speaking, loved one, was not a human quality. It was brought about by the Holy Spirit of God who were giving them boldness. Amen? See, listen, have you ever noticed that if you study your Bible, that most people when in Acts, when they're filled or refilled with the Spirit, they're always busy about the work of the Lord?
Pastor Bill concludes this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll join us once again. We appreciate you listening with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.